listening to The Water Cooler on Podcast One.
Water cooler. Water cooler. Water cooler.
Yo. Welcome to Water Cooler, episode number 273, also known as 69 plus 69 plus 69 plus 65. Thank you much. Am I close?
Oh, no. We're getting real close.
Oh, I thought I was close to my math. I'm like, that could be completely wrong. thank you so much for tuning in. You know how the show goes. All right, Chris Lux, I'm on a kick it with my Cruel Digital Buds, Philly style. With me today, Kalen Beans here.
What's going on?
Hey, Kalen. Gary Smith's here.
What's up?
Matt Fondelier's here.
Hey, brother.
And Mike Dawson. I need that as a drop, so I can pull that one for me. I would like to play that very often. All right, a lot going on today. First off, happy International Women's Day.
Respecting everyone.
Keep it raw.
Across nations today.
That's right. We got a lot going on today.
We're an international podcast, so we respect all women.
It's funny that you bring that up. I actually have an update on our international podcasting.
Really?
Yeah, so we'll get into that. First off, I just want to thank everybody who reached out on behalf of the wedding venue stuff. Last week I announced what happened was going on at the wedding venue. A lot of people reached out, ideas, suggestions. Hey, maybe try this place out. This is where my friend got married. Sorry to hear. And it was just so nice and very touching. Also, about an equal number of people reaching out over my gout issue, which I just want to say, guys, I got a gout gang, all right? We are going strong. Lots of listeners of this very podcast. Also,
I just picture a super gangster rap cover of the Gout Gang, but all of you guys are like limping on one foot.
Yeah, oh, that's you know? Well, yeah. Yeah, it's our swagger. Yeah.
First record's called Down and Gout.
Yeah, it's our gout strut. That's what it is.
It's the gout strut. It looks like a limp.
Yeah, it's not, stepping gout.
Yeah, it's not just a song that hits the airwaves, Matt, but it's also a dance that's just going to take over the country, the Gout Strut by the Gout Gang. And I just want to say, I didn't realize how not alone I was with my issue. So thanks again to everybody for reaching out, cooking. So appreciate it. Also,
now can I say one of the Gout Gang comments that I saw, probably the only one, said, "There's a medication. Take it. Keep eating red meat. Keep drinking alcohol, and you're fine."
So get the fuck out.
We're trying to make a record here, Gary.
I'm just saying, like, what's the plan here, Chris?
That was one of the comments. Yes. And I shall do that.
No, baby, you got to milk it.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm not at 100%. I'm still kind of feeling it. Like, my ankle's still tight.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's still, keep that up. My strut's still there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Gout Gang goes strong. Even if my gout's gone, I'm still part of the Gout Gang. And
well, you never get gout.
And
blood gout.
Yeah. Once you're in,
you never get gout.
you never gout. But a lot of people also sliding into the DMs, Matt and Gary. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, and the same thing. Just like, look, went to a doctor. They gave me this prescribed medication, and it's like 24 hours of agony, and then you're back to normal.
Chris specifically kept us out of that part of the conversation, Kalen. We're not allowed to comment.
I know.
In fact, we must strike it from our record.
Well, I really meant to just say Gary, but I was looking at Matt, because Gary is the one who's just like, I only saw one comment. How big is your gout gang? There are dozens of us, Gary.
I believe the gout gang is stronger than what I saw, but the comment that I saw just said, go take this pill and we can stop talking about this, and I'm confused why you haven't done that.
Whoever that person is, you're a hero.
You are. And you're also part of the Gout Gang. All right. A couple other things. I played music for the first time in a long time over the weekend.
Where at? What'd you play?
A wine bar that I used to play all the time. They're just like, hey, we want to get music back in. Can you come and play tonight?
You allowed to say the name of the venue? Or are you trying to keep it DL?
I'll keep it DL for now.
Okay.
Just because
you tagged them in your stories.
I didn't tag them. Did I? I didn't put anything. Oh, maybe
if only
Mikey
listened
did.
To a show where all of our listeners actually liked us
yeah.
and didn't want to do
wanted
anything
to
hurt
us
and wanted to come
yeah.
and support.
Yeah. All right. It's called Marina Wine in Long Beach. Marina Wine Bar. It's like, it's a nice little outdoor wine bar. It's fun. And yeah, I played for 3 hours. A little 3-hour gig.
Chris, I saw, as I mentioned, I saw the stories of you playing. You look so happy, and I was very happy for you that you got to play live music. I noticed something I'd never seen before. You had a tip jar on the piano next to you.
Yeah.
And then you had one of those little stand-up fucking boards with the letters, like chicks put at a wedding, and it said Venmo. And it had his @ for Venmo.
It's funny that you bring that up. It's also on my notes here, Gary. So, yes. All right. So, performing live, my banter is not great. I rarely repeat my name. You don't know who – if I don't have a sign up, you don't know who I am. You don't know – and I'll have a tip jar up, whatever.
It's just you or the whole band?
This is just me, the acoustic stuff. So I just play the songs, close my eyes. Maybe I'll smile and cheers everybody every once in a while. But rarely will I reset and just – by the way, my name's Chris Loxmond. Thanks for coming out. Like, just it feels weird. I got to get used to it. So initially, before COVID, I got one of those whiteboards – with and you just write. I just wrote my name like Chris Loxman. I drew an arrow pointing at me. There it is. Boom. Just stuck that up. And I thought, you know, I got to class it up a little bit. One, my handwriting is not very legible. Because I used to keep that whiteboard in my guitar case, and when I took it out, it was all smudgy. Some of it was kind of permanent on there because I haven't erased it in a while. And yeah, my penmanship was awful. And I thought, man, this looks pretty JV. So I got one of those, I guess they're called farm boards or something, where you put they have the lines in it, and you just put the plastic letters on them, and they're perfectly straight. It's very legible. It's nice.
It's called a marquee.
Like a marquee, yeah. It took me like an hour. I have so many A's in my last name that I had to search through that bag of letters for all the different A's, and then put the IG handle, of course. And then I thought, I've been seeing this a lot lately, and I thought it was lame. But
so here I go.
I was just like, man, that's because it was new. But I've been seeing it. But before the pandemic, I was seeing it more and more often. Even like homeless people would have their Venmo on like a cardboard sign. I thought, man, that's interesting. What a new time.
They're homeless, but they have a Venmo.
Yeah. Well, you'd be surprised how many homeless people have like cell phones and Venmo and blah blah blah. So I saw a lot of musicians and buskers starting to put their Venmo out. And I thought, okay, I will try it for a couple reasons. One, I don't know how many people are still even using cash these days. Like how much – like personally, I stopped using cash because I went to the iPhone wallet life, and I'm living that real hard, and I'm just using cards and going straight digital. I mean, it's good to have some cash on you, but for the most part, I've been going just card. And I thought, I wonder if a lot of people are doing that now, especially with like – you know, there's a huge change shortage, and a lot of people aren't even accepting cash and blah, blah, blah. So I thought, okay, I'm going to try this Venmo thing, see if it works.
How much you make?
$5.
Wow. Dude, five different people five gave bucks. You $1?
No, one person gave me $5.
There you go. It's $5 you wouldn't have had.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good job.
So it still worked.
Unfortunately, Venmo takes a $5 fee out of every exchange. Yeah. So
Gary, you did see – that was the very first time I ever put Venmo on my thing. And also – I used the sign. I didn't have a stand for it. I forgot to hook that part up onto the sign. So I had to lean it against the tip jar, and it was actually just covering the tip jar, mm-hmm. which I learned was a mistake as well.
Right. They can't see it.
Yeah. But either way, I had a great time playing music. It was cool. It was just super mellow, and it's nice playing music at night. So like the sun was already down. I started at 7. The sun was already down. It's just like I got to just play like my slow love songs, and it kind of was moody. And
well, which track or when did you play Channels?
Opened. Okay. Yeah. Well, I got it open
strong.
It's a song
I wrote, you may remember.
It's published, that's right.
Published poetry.
That is right.
There was one instance
very good.
That I feel like I made a mistake. And I got multiple requests for the remix to Ignition. By R. Kelly,
yeah.
Which I've discussed on the show before. Do I? I've retired? Retired it. I've retired it. But even so, if someone asked me, and I said, I don't play that one anymore. Come on, you gotta throw a nice chunk of change into the tip jar. Come on. And then the bartenders started kind of egging me. Yeah, we love that song. I'm like, I can't play that, guys. I can't do it. No, it's cool. It's cool. Trust me, it's cool. It's cool. I'm like, all right.
Let's give them that toot toot.
Yeah, and I did. I played it.
felt it. Did, it just good. It wasn't right. It didn't feel right though.
It didn't what, feel coming fresh out the kitchen.
It, the reason it didn't is just because I haven't practiced it in so long, so I butchered it. I really butchered it, and
that's you did that on purpose. If anyone was offended,
oh yeah,
by it.
That's what you get. You never again.
It. Yeah,
you don't get a good version.
But either
give me your tip money.
But it was a good time. I think people enjoyed it. You'd be surprised. Like a lot of people really haven't seen live music out here in California in such a long time that they were all kind of shocked too. And yeah, so the wine bar asked me to come back, so I'll be back there a couple weekends next month. And
nice, congratulations,
yeah,
man.
Sweet. We'll see. We're getting back into the swing of things. So yeah, live music. It's
back,
weird.
Baby.
It's awesome. And yeah, I'm super stoked.
I'm happy for you and equally jealous.
Did you wear a mask while you played?
He did not.
I did not. Just ask Gary all the questions.
Yeah, Gary, so.
I don't know. It was the other thing that I noticed. I was like, all right, interesting choice.
Yeah.
Like, but there was no one around you.
Yeah,
you didn't
I was
a splash zone.
I was in my own corner. Like, yeah, there was nobody around me. I actually stood behind a piano. Like a grand piano spaced me out from the rest of the crowd.
You didn't have an acoustic barrier.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was what it was. So, I was
do
already.
The venues
distant.
Usually try to hide you when you perform, or is that just specific to this place?
You know,
why they asked Chris to play because they're like, we can easily hide this.
Yeah,
guy.
I usually hide myself.
We know, typically.
But yeah, I didn't. I don't know. I just thought that singing with like a mask on it kind of changes the tone a little bit. I know
sure.
It might be a good thing for. You know, just kind of standing by the mask.
Did you bring your own microphone?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Chris, you are totally right. The mask definitely changes the way your voice sounds.
I mean,
there's just no way around it.
There's no way around it. Yeah. So, and I thought if I'm singing, that's actually what I'm doing. I'm performing with my voice. Mm-hmm. So I think it was fine. Nobody complained or anything. And
good.
Everyone was good wearing masks, like around the bar and walking around and stuff. So it's like, okay,
sweet.
We're cool.
Sounds
so,
like a great arrangement.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, hopefully we get, I mean, this is the start of something that we do more often. And yeah, so it was just kind of cool. My nerves were – I was so nervous. My God. I was I didn't realize how much I have not been practicing guitar and singing during quarantine. But
from what I saw on Instagram, you looked it wasn't apparent. You looked great.
Thanks,
you looked
man.
And sounded great.
You know what you got to do that people appreciate, at least people like me? Write on the tip jar. Write tips, but write it upside down so that when you look at it at a glance, people think it says spit. It's really self-deprecating. People dig it, and they throw money at you. Oh,
what if they take it literally?
Fuck.
I don't want that.
Money can dry.
Yeah.
So what?
But, yeah, it was a good time, and yeah.
Dwight Schrute says it's good for you.
Well, we always trust him. All right. Well, anyway, we got a flick in the bean today.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. Boss level. You guys seen it?
Mm-hmm. No, I watched the trailer, and I love
awesome.
The director, Joe Carnahan.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he was on the Corolla show promoting it. And yeah, I might watch it after this Flick in the Bean, depending on what he says.
See what he says I'll first, yeah.
Yeah. But first, let's get into some people's favorite part of the show, listener comments. Let's go.
It's time for listener
The reason I said it's some people's favorite part of the show is because in order to get into our Facebook group, by the way, it's facebook.com/groups/BoboBoyArmyWorldwide LLC. You have to answer some questions. A new question is, what's your favorite part of the show? And people are putting like, oh, love when they do the Facebook comments and questions and comments.
Oh, so we did add that question.
We did.
I want to see like a...
Someone even said flicking
responses.
The bean.
Yeah. There's only been two or three people that have added since it changed. But going forward, we'll be highlighting.
Let's get some more people. Come on.
Yeah, come on. Join in. Jump in on the fun. And if you're already in the group, why don't you just start... We'll start a thread. What's your favorite part of the show? Come on. Tickle our balls for a little bit. All right. Here we go. Tony...
People who don't listen to Dave's
reference.
And Thunder do not get that reference.
For the Midwestern moms out there who listen to this show, that is a reference to Dave's and Thunder. Please don't hate us.
All right. Tony Magbanua.
On International Women's Day, no less, Chris.
Seriously, Chris.
Oh, stop. Tony Magbanua.
T-Mags.
T-Mags says...
We don't do that on the show.
He just wants to know how say the Army. And he posted a TikTok video of a guy who is just holding those two crusty ends of the bread, of a loaf of bread that's sliced. It's like, what do you call those slices? Is there a name for it?
The ends.
That video is making the rounds right now.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going viral.
The ends?
End pieces is what I grew up with.
End pieces.
They're called the heel.
What about the brend? The end of bread.
Oh, that's pretty
the
good.
The brend.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I never really thought about
it
and then
like
I realized, I think my family would always say the butt. It's like the butt of the bread.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
But that was an example that dude in the video gave, so I felt less weird about it.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the whole video. Was the dude laughing really hard at
me? Yeah,
it
I didn't
was.
Watch the whole thing either.
I didn't either. See
all I was like, all right, I get it.
Well, I wish I could tell you the joke,
caption, but he said he couldn't stop laughing.
It's International Women's
You guys, thing. Come on. Oh, all right, fair enough.
Wait, now tell me the joke.
I watched till the end, and the final one that he came up with is that people call it the hoe because everyone touches it, but no one wants it.
Attaboy. All right,
you know,
that's okay.
Then
he was laughing way too hard.
The video is a little hard to watch. Like, I soldiered through when I didn't really want to.
All right, then this leads me to my next question. One, I enjoy the hoe. I like
that drop.
A sandwich out of the hoe. I'm fine with it. I think it's good. I like crust. I like all that. So
yeah,
give me the ends. I've
every
talked about
pure crust.
Yeah, I've talked about how I enjoy like the corners of brownies and cakes, whatever. So I enjoy that stuff.
Chris is a big fan of the hoe witch.
But what do you guys do with it? Do you eat it first because it's at the end? Do you always just put it to kind of cover the bread so that part of the bread doesn't get
yeah, it's a
moldy.
Bookend.
It's a bookend.
Bookend for your bread.
Yeah.
It's a bookend. That's what you guys use it for? You wait till the end to eat it if
you
even make it that far?
If you got another loaf of bread, you just don't eat it.
Yeah, you don't eat
it.
But
if you're out of bread then and that's what you got left?
Yeah.
The worst day of your life is when all you have left is the ends and you have to make a sandwich. And then you have to be like, okay, but if I want to – this is fucked up, man. Do you ever put your stuff? You ever do it backwards?
This has happened to me before.
You ever do it backwards? You put the
so
mayo
you can actually
on
scrape the butter on the other side.
Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah, that's smart, man.
Oh, so the crust is on the
crust
inside
on
of
the
sandwich.
Inside.
I've
about that.
I've never done that. Who would do that?
Mayonnaise.
Never thought of that.
And then it takes away the crust taste of the bread, but not completely.
Why do you want to do it? It tastes fine. Like, I don't know why you guys are avoiding it so much.
Here's my problem with it. And Chris, I'm with you. It is more crust. So it should be better because it's maximizing the crust. But the problem is they're too thin. They're never cut the way that a regular slice of bread is cut. So you get the two butt ends or hoes, if you will. And when you put them together, it's just the size of one regular slice of bread.
Yeah. I get it. So it's just like, okay, I'm just having two thin pieces of bread for my sandwich. Yeah. And all right, Gary, what do you do with it? Do you like it?
No, I don't think I've ever eaten it. At least I've
never had one in your life.
I don't think so.
My God,
it was a little embarrassing.
That's not surviving. That's living.
It was a little embarrassing to go into school and your PB&J is made out of the two butts. Yeah. You bust that thing out. It's like, oh. I don't know why. It's just there's a little bit of shame attached to it.
Now, I agree with this idea of the worst day of your life is when you use the both butt ends for a sandwich. Mm. But sometimes you have one regular slice and then the two butts. I would prefer to do the one regular slice and then the halfer.
Yeah.
But maybe for synchronicity, we should just be sticking to the butt ends.
Yeah. What do you guys feel about grilled cheese sandwiches as your bread? You know, like there are a lot of burger places that do that.
Not about it.
You're not about
too
it?
Rich.
Too much?
Too much?
Too rich?
Too much for me, yeah. It always sounds great, so I order it, and then I go, I'm disappointed.
Wait, what are you proposing? A sandwich that is made with four slices of bread?
Yeah.
Yeah, like sometimes you go to a restaurant, and they'll serve you like the meat of a burger, but instead of the bun, it's a grilled cheese on each side.
I'm totally
put it on
into
the
that.
Bun.
Totally
or like at the fair, right. They'll do two donuts instead of
disgusting.
The bun.
That's disgusting.
I'll make a over medium egg sandwich, triple decker, and one of those decks. It's cheese on both sides, but there's an egg in one side, but and then meat in there, and then a kind of a grilled cheese on top.
Oh, so good.
So it's still sandwiched with delicious. The cheese. It's really fantastic.
For some reason, the grilled cheese as a sandwich burger, as like a bun, it seems like too much. But I'm also conversely, I'm staunchly in favor of the quesadilla as a burrito wrapping.
Yeah, that looks cool too. I don't think I've ever had that, but every time I see videos of people doing that, I'm like, that would work. How would that not work?
How
that's
does
beautiful.
That not work? Yeah.
Yeah, you're instead of a tortilla, it's a rolled up quesadilla.
It's a quesarito.
Quesarito.
Oh, quesarasara.
Dawson brought up something that I need to see more of, and that's the triple decker, that piece of bread that's in the middle of the sandwich. The Big Mac does it.
The club sandwich.
Club sandwich. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the triple decker. I like that piece of bread in the middle. I'm all for that.
Vinny's actually vomiting right now.
I know.
He's in our building.
Are those his tears coming under the door? All right. Daniel Brown asked a question, and I kind of alluded to this earlier in the show. Hey, guys. Just wondering how many people we have from different countries in the group. So let's do a roll call. I'm from London, England, myself. Where are you guys from? And man, we got listeners all over. I mean, first off, everybody's mentioning all the states in the U.S., of course, and that's like that already blows my mind that there are people on, you know, that's one or two states away from where we are listening. I mean, yeah. One or two different counties away.
Right.
It just blows my mind. But
Danny Brown, you're now Danny UK.
Danny UK. But a lot of people were dropping where they're from. But actually, in the Facebook group, like the settings, or I don't know, because we're admin. I was going to say administrators, and then I cut myself off, and I'm like, wait a minute, you can't do that.
We're admins.
We're admins.
That's true, because administrator, it's the next syllable.
Yeah, because we're admin.
You've been saying it wrong all along, Chris.
There's a place where you can just see where every user's from by country. Mm. So I'll read off some of the countries that listen to this show.
And this is where people currently live. Nobody's like, oh, I'm from Russia.
No, yeah. But there were a lot of people that commented, like, I used to live in India, but now I'm in, you know, Maine or something.
Yeah, right. I'm from Poland.
But this is where you have your Facebook account set to where you live.
Hmm. So, of course, U.S., Canada. Got a lot of Canadians.
Howdy.
United Kingdom. So that is London.
That's where Danny UK lives.
But Scotland, too. We got some in Scotland.
If you're from Scotland, you need to put Scotland down. You can't put UK. I know it technically
but Facebook
counts, but
marks it as United Kingdom. We have some United Kingdom listeners. We have some in Australia.
Good day, mate.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Yeah, let's greet everybody. This won't backfire at all. Let's just greet
Chris,
everybody.
You're the master of accents.
No. I'm here. I'm hosting. So you, Matt, you will greet everybody. I make them feel at home here on the water cooler. No, it won't.
Staring at the list, insisting it won't become a problem. When this is going to be salivating to get to Brazil. And
this is going to be nice. All right. So we did Canada, UK. Oh, we have listeners in Germany?
Nine.
No, we do. We do have listeners in Germany.
Great.
Guten Tag.
Que sera, sera. That's what Dawson said, right?
We have listeners in India?
Mm-hmm.
Japan?
Welcome.
All right. Mongolia.
As your ambassador. Oh.
We have listeners in Mongolia?
That's yeah.
Cool. That's pretty cool.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Israel?
Don't look at me like that.
How about this? The United Arab Emirates.
We do.
Yeah.
They kind of have a British accent sometimes.
Brazil.
Sweet.
And Iceland.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, this blows my mind. We are worldwide. We really are Bobo Boy Army Worldwide LLC.
Thank you,
Facebook
guys.
Shows. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and appreciate everybody from all over the world hearing us yap our voices in Glendale. All right. Blake Harrison, he wrote, Confessions from a Team Dawson outside the demo, Bobo Boy. Water cooler is more entertaining than ACS.
Mm.
The students have become the master. Thank you to the men of Watercooler for providing consistent and quality content and for being prepared. Raw PPWW. So respect all women.
Pro puppy.
Woof, woof. Thank you, Gary.
I thought it was a reference to Keelan's Wonder Woman review from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Thanks. No one wants to celebrate that.
Thank you, Blake, for writing in. Appreciate that, man. Jake Zerby. He says, with Dawson, Matt, and Chris getting all the airtime on ACS today, I feel like we got an extra dose of water cooler. He's talking about when we were supposed to do trending topics, and it turned into a nice little prom discussion.
Prom talk.
Where Matt revealed that he was prom king at his prom.
That's right.
He was elected prom king. And Dawson.
Pretty special moment.
Yeah, Dawson brought a, what was your story? You got an older.
I brought a senior to the freshman dance.
Damn.
Nice.
I've mentioned her on the show before, Bridget Foget.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Ah. One of our we didn't tell the story on air, but one of my close friends has a younger brother. He's been brought up on the show before. His name is Randy. It's Randy.
It's something. I don't know.
Something like that. He was still in high school when we were all in college, and one of our other friends was dating an extremely attractive girl, and we were able to set it up so that my friend's little brother took this smoking hot college girl to his prom. And what we did was rent the limo, dropped them off at the prom, And then me and my buddies took this limo around downtown LA for the entire night. Yeah,
that's
worth
it.
And then picked him up at the end of the night. It was amazing.
Wow.
So, okay.
None of us went to the prom, right, to be right, clear.
You just pimped out your brother's yeah, girlfriend.
Exactly.
So you guys could get a limo.
Yeah. Pretty much. All pretty right, much.
Good for her. Yeah, she looked, yeah, she took one for the team. She so you did, guys could have a nice little limo ride.
And then that picture will just live forever in that. I want to see young adult's mind.
I need to see this picture.
Sure.
So what do you guys think of that? Like, is that, I mean, it's obviously awesome for him, but is that super lame for her?
Well, we were all friends, so she had a good time.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, if you're willing to do that, there's probably a little bit of a hit to your ego. I don't know.
Yeah, because there was like that line in, you know, I quote this all the time and everybody does, American Reunion or American Pie 3 or whatever it was. But
yeah, you know how everyone's quoting American Pie 3.
I know, I'm kidding. But there was like a line where, because they were like college kids at a high school party and they look at each other like, are they awesome because they got college kids here? Or are we lame for being at a high school party?
Mm-hmm. I got asked to soft hop when I was a senior. And I went.
Yeah.
To what?
Soft. The soft. The, yeah.
It was like a sophomore dance.
Oh, yeah. That, that's cool. It had to be
a catchy title.
A catchy title, right.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Just go. As I said on the Kroll Show, I went to my friend's prom as I was in college and she needed a date. She asked me and I said, yeah. And I went and I had a blast.
But to answer your question, yeah, I think it's always looked on as a little creepy unless you're the one doing it.
Yeah. Or if you're like really short and young looking.
Probably a level of jealousy because, you know, every 19-year-old college guy is like, man, yeah, fuck. I could be the badass going back to prom.
Right. But it never yeah, quite works that way.
Yeah, but either way, it was really fun doing that on the Kroll Show, just kind of having everybody chiming in and hanging out. Like, it felt like this. It was nice.
It was.
All right. David Hundley. Oh, and by the way, Kalen loves it when I do this segment on the Kroll Show every once in a while called Trending Topics. And Kalen loves that it just gets steamrolled every time I go. Like, I have like probably 4 pages of notes and I get to a half page every time.
Yeah, there is prep that goes on beforehand. He's got to let me know if he needs like pictures or videos and what order they're going to be in. And of course, every time it goes so far off the rails, I like to see not only how quickly it goes off the rails, but just how far it will go. And this last time just took the cake. It can't ever be beaten. He didn't,
I didn't get to one thing.
In 2 segments.
Whatever.
All right. Still good content.
Still
that's
great content. David Hundley, he created a poll in the Facebook group. He just wants to know. I must know, what do you all think is the best fast food burger? And I'll give you the rankings in the poll. The In-N-Out Double Double at number one. With
correct.
76 votes. The Five Guys Cheeseburger is second place, 46
also
votes.
Correct.
No, it's not. Shack Burger is at 9, and then Culver's and Whataburger is just kind of trailing off at the end there. But what do you guys think? I mean, I think it is the double-double at In-N-Out, but is it just because we're California boys?
Probably.
I think it is. A lot of people that aren't from here that come to In-N-Out that hear how great it is, I've only heard of them being disappointed.
Yeah, same.
And
we only hype it up.
Mm. I got to say the Five Guys is the one that took me by surprise.
Me too.
I had always heard about Five Guys, and then when I finally had it for the first time, I thought that is a legit good fast food burger. But somebody pointed out they're more fast casual.
Yeah, no drive-thrus.
Fast food.
No drive-thrus, expensive.
It is a little,
if
a little
more.
If
you don't have the drive-thru, I don't know if you can count it.
Point. You know what I love is whenever we do a Five Guys run, Matt runs to the drawer here in the kitchen. And he takes out a Ziploc freezer bag.
Yeah. Gallon?
Yeah, and he's a gallon freezer bag. He's like, by the way, stock up on peanuts. I guess they get free peanuts there.
Yeah, they do. Boxes of peanuts. Dawson, what do you think?
I like the In-N-Out burger. But now, I like the way Matt said it'd be a whole different conversation if you had said I was surprised by Five Guys and we weren't talking about burgers.
That's true. Much darker story.
Much darker. But I liked the Five Guys burger. But man, I'll tell you, there's nothing wrong with a fucking Western bacon double cheeseburger.
Now, Dawson, let me add another little wrinkle into this. I, too, was initially going to go with the In-N-Out Double Double because that's a very solid option. And then I scrolled down a little bit to look at all of the different options. There's about 15. And at number 12, Alexander Gaxiola created and voted for, and it's the sole vote, P. Terry's.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I really had to think about it. That one's going to get my vote.
Now, that's we ate like 12 of those.
That's an Austin, Texas local chain.
Awesome.
We went there once for the Corolla show, and Dawson and I, somebody, we just
stumbled. So it's not a fast food?
No, it's a fast food place.
Well, it's fast.
It's fast food.
How many of them are there?
There's like 15 across. There's a bunch across greater Austin. And maybe in other parts.
It's there.
Chocolate shakes are awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, they're really good.
Dawson and I just stumbled into one. We like walked out of the venue and we're like, we need food right now. And we just went to the first place with a neon sign. And as we brought it back, all the venue staff were like, you guys found Pete Terry's. You are in for a treat. And
we ate that all weekend.
Dude, we ate that five times that weekend. And when I went back for a bachelor party a year later, I took 20 guys to Pete Terry's.
Yeah.
It's like so good.
The closest thing it's to is, you know, the junior bacon cheeseburger at Wendy's. Take the bacon off. And it's just fucking mayonnaise, lettuce, tomato, burger, cheese. Hmm. So good.
Yeah, did they mail out the burgers or something? I want one so bad right now. I remember I got one when we went on that Loxy tour throughout Texas. And yeah, that is just the spot.
It is so good. Anyone I hear going to Austin, I always tell them, you got to find one.
Yeah, so the thing about Five Guys, why I'm not really into it being second place. And to be honest, I don't really like Five Guys that much. And I think the reason is, it's too customizable.
Too many dudes, bro.
Too many guys. And also, it's just too customizable. Like, you do the online ordering.
Too many
ordering,
amazing options
and
to
it's
choose
like,
from.
See, what do you want to add on it? You have to make the burger yourself. Like, yeah. What
you
sauce do you want?
What is wrong
yourself?
With that?
Yeah, yeah, Chris. That's,
I think you're just putting the wrong combo together.
Well, Chris is not in the restaurant business.
You just want to be told,
like, just
what
make
to
the
eat.
Fucking burger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, here's the thing.
I'll
just
eat
make
I'll tell
the
you
burger.
What, let's make a deal. You make the burger.
Thank you.
I'll eat it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't need to make the decisions.
Well, then just do the do the suicide and just check off all the boxes.
They don't all work. Because they have like grilled mushrooms. You want grilled veggies with it.
Grilled mushrooms are fantastic.
Yeah, of course I want all that, but I want you guys to pick it. And I just want to order.
I'm not in the restaurant. What do I know about restaurants? I don't know how to order the food.
I guess they could benefit. Like, there's a place called The Counter, which is, you know, like a burger place, but they also fully customizable, but then they have a selection of, you know, five or six burgers if you're super boring and, you know, you don't want to figure out what you want your own burger, then you can choose one of theirs.
I also get mad that Five Guys doesn't have any ranch for the French
that
fries.
Is definitely a bummer.
Why?
It makes
why
up
not,
for
why
a
not just
giant
have ranch?
Peanuts.
See, it's a sign of our above average intelligence, Chris. We're the people who wear uniforms because we don't want to spend time thinking about what to wear every day. We like the restaurant people to make the goddamn burger. I'll just eat it.
Hey, guys, you know how I'm in the Gout Gang? I'm also on hashtag Team Dawson right now and real bad, all right? Like, that is exactly right. I want you guys to pick. Like, you know that when we went to the office in Father's office, Father's office, and they have that rule.
No changes.
No changes, no substitution. You get the burger the way we want to give it to you. Yeah. Oh, man, that gets me off.
Yeah, exactly.
I freaking love that shit.
I did have to not sit next to you when we were there.
It was awkward. It was awkward. I missed
that place.
Dude, I remember we went there and they recognized Matt. Like, the guy working there is like, you're Matt Fondelier, the Porcelain Punisher?
It was a great day.
It was an awesome day.
God, I also miss Stout. Remember that place?
She said, thanks to your food, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gary mentioned another great burger place, Stout. But these are not fast food burgers.
No.
This is the, like, sit down, you're going to spend $20 on a burger, which is insane, but then you bite into it.
Like, do you guys – like, what shows do you binge as just kind of like comfort food? Like, for me, it was like The Office, and I used to do it with like friends and stuff. If I just need something on, I would just go on Netflix, just pick an episode of The Office, and I could just have that running in the background.
So you're talking about shows that you don't actively watch.
That you know by heart.
You know by heart, yeah, but you just like it on in the background, and you kind of
– for me, Parks and Rec or The
Parks
West
and Rec,
Wing. The West
yeah,
Wing.
Simpsons. Yeah, so there are a lot of shows that I do that with, but I hate choosing which episode I want to watch. Like, FX used to have like just pick a random Simpsons episode for me, and I love that. I like things being chosen for me sometimes. That's why radio is still appealing. That's why like things on shuffle, like you picking every little part of what's going to happen next in your life. It's kind of rough. Like I don't.
You're just letting your life be controlled by other people.
It's not
Chris.
That I like being controlled, but I like reacting
Chris,
to what's happening.
You're one of those people who
matters.
Watches the YouTube video, and then at the end of the video, it says we thought you might also like. You just let it roll right into the next.
Oh,
video.
Oh, roll it, baby! My hands are just behind my head. Let's go.
The problem here is that every single person in our audience has specifically sought this out and chosen to listen to it.
Yeah. Well, That's what I'm saying.
That is true. There's some elements in life where I guess I could see how it would work. But
there you go.
I noticed Netflix has that option where if you don't know what you want to watch, it says Netflix will choose for you.
That's
have you
a
guys
new
seen
thing.
That?
Yeah, has anyone ever?
I'm starting to wonder,
Dawson. And then said, oh, okay, I'll just watch.
I'm starting to feel like I'm sitting next to two people who would do that very thing.
I would think no
one would want to be told what to do.
I tried it once. And whatever they said I should watch, I'm like, you guys are fucking stupid.
I don't trust Netflix, though. That's the thing. I don't trust Netflix.
I trust a guy who
algorithms.
Runs a burger place.
I trust.
There are five of them.
I trust.
Can they fucking come to a consensus of what goes on the burger?
Five brains making burgers.
Jesus.
You can't just make one. Like, I have to still make it myself. Get out of here. What are you all there for?
Yeah, exactly. Why do we need five of
you?
You could be one guy
cheeseburger.
You know, right
see,
now,
that's the problem. There's five of us here. We can't fucking agree on it.
Right now, I feel like you're talking about our show. You're talking about our show.
Yeah. Well, it's just like,
if we had a burger place, we'd make the goddamn burger.
When was the last time you listened to like FM radio? It's been a while?
It's been an extremely long time.
Try listening to it again. Just turn it on.
No.
When you hear a song that you like, come on, when you didn't ask for it, there's something that just, it's like chemically in you where you just get just that many more stokens when it comes on. You're like, wow, that's cool. I didn't pick this to come on, but I'm so happy it's on.
Yeah, but then what happens when the next song is some fucking Avril Lavigne shit you don't want to listen to? Get a Pandora, then you're not picking it, but it's going to be what you like too.
And at Pandora, I've burnt out Pandora playlists where I know every single song that's going to come on. Like, it's just, I don't know. I sometimes like things being picked for me. Like, Matt.
Yeah. Hey,
Shay.
What's up?
Hey, Shay.
Yo.
You ever done omakase?
Excuse me?
Omakase or omakase, where the sushi chef, just like, you just sit down and he's
and
just
they
like,
just do it for you.
I'm going to make it for you. Here, you eat this. I just made it out of whatever was in front of me.
I've never done that, but I could understand the appeal.
Dude, it's
I've
awesome.
I wanted to do that.
We got to do it. Cam, let's go.
Okay, let's
Matt,
do it.
Let's go. Yeah. Gary, let's go.
Sure.
I think it'll be really fun, guys. Dawson, let's go.
Where are we going?
I think there's a place. I mean, it's probably
it's right there.
But let's. I mean, we got a lot of people buying us lunch. There's a place that says omakase.
Let's just let Adam know that the five of us are going to take off work to go enjoy the sushi place that he's been to
very high end sushi
that
place.
He got very upset at because they wouldn't let him order anything.
Well, because Adam's like, let's get a spicy tuna roll in a California roll. Like, get out of here, dude! I want to get some weird fish that I've never heard of. So anyway, I think there. So this brings it to my new restaurant idea. It's called Mystery Bag.
Go on.
You just walk in.
You walk in. Yeah, you walk in. They give you a mystery bag. You just tell them how many people. I got two people. Two dinners, please. You got it. Here's your mystery bag. It's just a bag that's guaranteed to have two dinners in it.
Hot, cold. You don't know.
You don't know, but they would still be within the same theme if it's in the same party. But other than that, you have no idea what you're getting. But the quality will always, will be good. Are you okay with that?
No.
Because I kind of want that.
I like the idea of it.
Of mystery bag, the restaurant. Yeah,
I'd go try it, definitely, then I'd never go back again.
That's the problem. I might try it too, but there's no chance you're getting repeat customers at that place. Yeah.
Even if you have something amazing, you're never going to get it again.
Exactly. But I don't care, because then you just remember it. It's just become a memory. Like, remember that one time at Mystery Bag? Bomb-ass meal. Mystery Bag. Look, from the makers of Slice of Life. It's the same entrepreneurs.
Would Slice of Life serve sell the end butts, the butt ends of the bread, or no?
Yeah, it would, but just one of them, too.
Yeah.
Half price, though, because they're skinnier.
Real low self-esteem.
Yeah, those are the that's in the on sale section in Slice of Life.
Yeah,
the slogan mystery bag, what's for dinner?
Yeah, oh, see, Kalen be down. Dawson, you'd eat at mystery bag.
I'd probably eat there.
Yeah,
it'd be best though if you like went there with two or three or maybe four or five people, because then you have a better chance of.
I think in Chris's plan, everyone at the same party gets the same bag.
I don't like that. I'm going to change that.
Okay, we could change it up.
Everyone gets a bag.
So yeah. Dawson doesn't like the idea that someone else would pick for him. He wants to be able to pick from the five meals that are in the bag.
Actually, I'm just saying
there's an opportunity to trade.
Yeah.
You know? Somebody's not too hip on their dinners. Well, look, we all knew what we were getting into. But we knew what we were getting into. So we have an agreement going in that there's a real good chance that none of us are going to be happy with our meal.
There is.
And that's just a gamble that I'm willing to take.
Kalen.
Yeah.
Me and you go to Mystery Bag, right?
I realized, too, that I think my mom was way ahead of the time because back when I was in high school, it was Mystery Bag every day for lunch. I never knew what it was going to be.
And how great was that?
It was good. It was good.
What am I getting today, Kalen?
Oh, man.
We go to Mystery Bag. I get a bag. You get a bag.
Yeah.
You open up your bag. Nashville hot chicken sandwich.
You shit in your pants.
Okay. Maybe. God. I cannot talk about that. I open up my bag.
Soup.
Teriyaki bowl. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'd be so disappointed.
With what?
I'd be so jealous of
teriyaki bowl?
A teriyaki bowl with Wagyu beef. Let me finish.
I love a good
Who doesn't love a teriyaki bowl?
Yeah,
teriyaki it's great.
When the person sitting across from you is eating Nashville fried hot chicken.
I would trade for a teriyaki bowl.
Oh, my God.
See that? See, mystery bag. That's a mystery bag. That's what happens. That's the magic of the mystery bag.
I would accept your trade, Kalen, and never talk to you again.
I think something like this exists in some kind of restaurant form already, except it's not. It's just a surprise. Like, it's an addition to they, like, they, you know. I think that some people have it actually on a menu that you can just get. Take what we give you. It's called the Blue Plate Special, essentially.
Dawson, the place I'm thinking of is you walk into the counter, you look up at the menu up there, and all it says is Mystery Bag - $12.
So you don't even know what you're choosing from.
No idea.
No.
I don't know, man. I think it should be like Sizzler in that they have the menu and pictures of the menu. Pictures of all the food up on the thing.
I find
you can see all of them, but then it's like, what are you going to eat? You don't know.
It's very ironic that Dawson's example is a place that went bankrupt and shut down.
it's apropos.
No, also, I'm just going to say right now, if you open a place called Mystery Bag, no tradesies. You open your bag, that's what you fucking get.
That's
you don't get to change someone else's mystery bag.
That is that's completely right. There are no trades allowed. You have to sign a contract.
You don't have to sign anything, but everyone gets kind of cued through the line, and it's clearly stated by Gary Ghost that, you know, what you get is what you get. And that's what's for dinner.
That shall be your dinner.
Gary goes, can you draft us up a contract for our hypothetical restaurant?
You'll eat what we give you? Now fuck off.
Yeah, you might even get like coupons for like the Los Angeles Fair or something.
I get a corn dog.
Yeah.
Might put a goat. You will fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. So, gee, my mouth is watering thinking about Mystery Bag. See, Kalen?
God, I want Pete Terry's.
That's right. Oh, it could be in the mystery bag. You have a nice little burger there.
Yeah, Pete Terry's. A
couple slices of pizza. Anything you want, Kale.
Sushi.
That's great. You open it up and it's literally like three slices of Domino's pizza.
No. They'd still be high quality because it's still like you're paying like a $12, $15 thing. So it's like, I mean, it's not super cheap, but at least you know that you're getting something of quality from mystery bag. And then we would never. When we go on lunch runs, we would never have to think, where do you guys want to go today? We could just say mystery bag every time. It'll be something fresh.
I agree, but then we would have to make it ourselves. Why wouldn't we just eat what we wanted?
Well, hypothetically, I'm saying that we are not working at Mystery Bag.
If we're going to own this restaurant, I think we're going to know what the good food is and just say, I want this instead.
I don't like that.
If we own it, they'll give it to us.
All right. Well, there's some kinks that need to be worked out. Couple more comments here. Kathy Lowry from KathyBuysYouLunch.com wrote in. She says, My fiance and I were on a road trip last weekend to get our new puppy, and she posted a picture of it. Very lovely puppy.
Super cute.
Which puppy was it? I'm gonna render my cute judgment until I know exactly which puppy it was.
I'll post a picture of it on the YouTube, so it's right down here. She posted a picture. And then he was in the back seat. with him while driving. What if we did like a mystery puppy bag? Everybody just gets mystery puppies. No. So she was on a road trip last week to get the new puppy, and he was in the back seat while she was driving. She says, I asked him if he had a seatbelt on, and he said no. And then told me that before he met me and my family, he never used a seatbelt in the back seat. Is that a thing? Do people not wear seatbelts if they are sitting back there? I don't think it's really a thing. I mean, to be honest, and I am a little more lax, pardon the pun, or a little more casual when I am in the back seat of putting my seatbelt on right away than I am in the front. I've noticed that. But I typically will always put the seatbelt on.
I feel like I will always wear the seatbelt unless it's an Uber. And I'm like with friends in the back seat. Oh, that is one cute fucking puppy.
And very why? Cute.
I don't know. It's probably the drinking before we get into the Uber that's doing it.
Oh.
But if I'm of straight mind, of sane mind, I would definitely have that seatbelt on.
See, especially when I'm in Ubers, I put it on because I don't want to risk any sort of confrontation of them having to bring it up.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a horrible Uber score because of what happens
but
in the backseat.
I will
of
say this. Cabs or taxis, I never put my seatbelt on.
Right. I think
I was
applying the same principle.
Yeah.
Most of the time in a taxi, you go to like Las Vegas or whatever, I don't even know if there are seatbelts in the taxis.
Right. Yeah. You treat them as like golf carts.
Yeah.
Something that kind of gets you around the strip. But what about you guys? Is that a thing? Have you heard of that?
No.
No. Always put a seatbelt on.
I always wear a seatbelt. And I would wear a seatbelt more often in a cab or a taxi or an Uber, rather, because I have no idea who the fuck these people are. It could be Matt.
Right.
You never know.
Very true. Very true. All right. Well, there you go, Kathy. And thank you for buying our omakase.
Let me be clear. I'm not saying people shouldn't wear their seatbelt. They absolutely
no.
should. I
no,
was
they
just
should.
Trying
being
to honestly
honest.
Answer your
yeah,
question.
Yeah, like, look, we are relaxed, and I'd like to be better about it.
I will
we
agree.
In my opinion, the backseat seatbelt is not – it's uncomfortable.
Right.
More uncomfortable than a regular seatbelt?
Than the front seat? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it might be a bit tighter.
And I agree with Matt. If you're a little loosey, a little loosey-goosey,
yeah.
Got after it a little bit, now you're hitting
it's
the
a lot
bars.
Harder to put that seatbelt on.
I agree.
Yeah, fuck it. I'm not putting it on.
Yeah. Especially that some
and
cars.
Uber drivers drive so fucking slow anyway.
Yeah, Matt.
It's like, Jesus. I had to fucking yell at a guy to go 65 on the freeway. Dude's going like fucking 50. I'm like, dude, I understand you can't speed.
Yeah.
But go the fucking speed limit.
That's what you said?
I did.
I think it's also the reason why I have a low Uber score is I'm definitely a backseat Uber driver.
And I still have the highest Uber score of all of us.
Wait, so do you open up with that kind of like attitude? Like,
No. I go in really nice, but if
we're going to the forum, fucking drive, motherfucker.
No, I've had people. No, of course, I'm very, very nice.
Yeah.
I usually sit in the front seat.
You do?
Wow.
That is strange.
I don't
like as a former Uber driver.
Oh, yeah,
people
Matt.
Will sit in the front
I always
seat
say,
and
do
I
you
would
mind?
Say, well, I guess if you say you mind, then I go, oh, yeah, no
well,
problem.
Well, they
kind of got
to say yes.
Go,
what are they going to say? No. Yeah.
What motive? I mean, I guess it is way more comfortable to sit in the front seat. I get it. But I don't think I've ever asked to sit in the front seat.
I also don't like other motorists knowing anything about me. And one thing they'll know is that I'm in an Uber. And I don't think they need to know that information.
I see.
I'm riding with a friend.
Right.
Interesting. My friend just has the Uber sticker on the car, but he's off the clock.
It could be on at any time.
Yeah. That's interesting.
That's good.
The front seat solo move.
And then no matter who the driver is, people have to assume you're friends with them.
And then we usually have a great conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. See,
we're
that's
sitting
the
right
problem.
Next to each other, and that's how you get a good rating.
Yeah. See, as an Uber driver, I don't want a conversation.
Oh, you don't?
No.
You're very unlike a lot of my Uber drivers.
That's because I've been an Uber passenger so many times. I don't want the small talk.
I let them dictate. If you want to shut the fuck up, we'll shut the fuck up. If you start talking to me, I'll talk to you.
Right.
Same. I'll, of course, be polite and I'll respond. But there is like a – when you get your Uber driver, it gives you the points like, oh, this guy's very clean. And one of the things is this guy's a great conversationalist. And I always get that. I'm like, here we go.
Yeah. Totally.
Let's do it. But I mean, I haven't really had any awful experiences by any means. It's just
– You haven't?
There's been – oh, okay.
Maybe
a couple.
What do you do for a living? That's about the worst sentence ever.
Oh, why? You know what I always just say if I don't want follow-up questions? I work in internet. That's it.
In internet.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice.
I work in internet. I literally said that in front of Mike August the other day to an Uber driver. And thankfully, Mike didn't have to clarify. Like, oh, wait, what are you talking about, Chris? You work for the number one podcast in the world. Yeah. No, it's I don't know. It's just that is a bad question. I remember one time I was in an Uber with Jen. This is kind of when we first started dating. And this guy was just talking about how he had all these guns in the trunk and how, like, he hoped, like, someone would break into his house so he'd have an excuse to shoot him. Mm. And I was like, all right, this is uncomfortable. this one's uncomfortable. We have another comment here. David Hundley. Does that name ring a bell, Kalen?
Yeah, he just gave us the last comment.
Right.
No, that was Kathy.
The one before then.
The poll.
Yes, he did.
It sounds very familiar.
Burger guy. But also, does it sound familiar for another reason,
Kalen? Aside from the burger guy, no.
Well,
from now on, he's the burger guy, by the way.
Burger guy.
Well, he calls himself something different here.
Uh-oh.
Spreadsheet guy here.
Yeah!
No spreadsheet guy.
So he says, spreadsheet guy here, and for those, just a reminder, he is the guy who's been making an Excel spreadsheet of every single flick in the bean, scale rating.
It's actually a machine learning, like he's trying to develop an AI that will predict what the bean scale rating will be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it is a daunting task. But he says, I've seen a few anomalies in Kalen's ratings so far.
Just a few?
Giving a flickable rating based on seeing uncut gems is definitely a first. Because Caleb's last review is like, if you've seen uncut gems, unflickable.
Then good time is unflickable.
Yeah. Not sure how I will account for this in my AI model, but I was walking through the atrium of my Fortune 500 corporate building.
I think he says Fortune 50.
Oh, it is Fortune 50.
Which means it's one of the top 50 companies in
the
world.
Yeah, not even 500.
That's bragging, dude.
Yeah, my Fortune 50 corporate building while listening to this episode. And I laughed way too hard at this bit. Thank goodness most people are still working from home, so I don't think anybody saw me. So not only do we have international listeners, we have some guys at Fortune 50 corporate buildings in the atrium walking through the atrium.
Sounds like a burger guy needs to buy us lunch.
Just do the right thing.
For those who are newly tuning in, because we do have new listeners, we are not just panhandling for lunch every day.
No, it's every other day.
It's twice a week.
Just do the right thing.
2 days out of the week.
Oh, yes.
We're not part of any sort of internet mafia. That's just kind of implying that you do the right thing or bad things might happen. I don't say anything, but...
Oh, is that it? Those are our comments?
Those are our comments. Thank you, everybody, for writing in. Kalen, did you see I Care a Lot on Netflix?
I have not seen it yet.
Okay.
I've heard a lot of people talking about it, but I have not
seen it. There's kind of a muscle scene in that where it's like, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm part of a mob or anything, bad things might happen. I don't really know.
Yeah.
There's a really good scene of that. All right. Well, anyway, speaking of flicking the bean, let's get David Hundley to open that spreadsheet again because we got another rating here to further him along in creating an AI that can predict the ratings of this particular segment.
We all want to know one thing. Opinions, what we need.
We need.
So Kalen, get on that mic.
That mic is flick the bean.
Oh, Kalen, flick the bean.
Respect all women.
As we mentioned earlier, I am reviewing the movie Boss Level, which is available now on Hulu. Written and directed by Joe Carnahan, as you said. He did Smoking Aces, The Gray, Narc.
Did you see all of those?
I have seen all of those. They are all good movies.
Mm-hmm. I read the wiki for The Gray. It's gray.
You just read the wiki for that? You didn't actually watch it? You could handle that.
Borderline.
Definitely don't watch Narc.
Okay.
Okay. He also wrote the script for Bad Boys 3.
Let's call it by its proper.
Bad Boys for Life.
For life.
Bad Boys for Life. It stars Frank Grillo, who played...
he's awesome.
He played Brock Rumlow, a.k.a. Crossbones, in Captain America Civil War, Winter Soldier. He's also... I knew him from The Purge 2 and 3. And he was in Zero Dark Thirty, Warrior.
So he doesn't die in 2, huh?
He's on the current season of Billions.
There you go. Which I haven't watched yet. Also, Naomi Watts, Mel Gibson, Ken Jeong, Will Sasso. It's 100 minutes long.
Wow.
Not bad.
It cost $45 million to make.
Oh.
And the critic score has it at 76%. The audience, 78%.
Mm. So 77. Yeah, we'll take the median.
So this is it's an action time loop movie where the main characters just live in the same day over and over again. And he's trying to figure out why this is happening to him, all the while getting constantly bombarded with various assassination attempts on his life. And I thought the trailer looked very silly when I watched it. But I only heard good things about it. I think Dawson a while ago said that he enjoyed it. And I went to look for it and realized it wasn't coming out for a while.
I had an early screening.
Oh, and, cool.
And then...
head up to the Hulu headquarters?
Head up to the... who?
And then Gina and Brian had also... They both loved it. So I was very optimistic about it. I think this might have to be the last of the time loop movies for a little while.
I was just going
to
ask. Yeah,
yeah, those started to come in pretty fast and strong. Of course, the original Groundhog Day. Then Edge of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Then Happy Death Day.
Yeah.
Which is the kind of hoary one.
Excuse you?
And then...
yeah.
International
Women's Day, Kaylin.
Come on, man.
And then Happy Death Day 2, which was really awful. I think that just about almost killed the time loop movie genre itself. But then Palm Springs.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
And now Boss Level. So I think this might be the last one for a little while. But Joe Carnahan started developing this back in 2012. So he wasn't just jumping on like the bandwagon. I guess he took it from a Tony Scott screenplay originally and then changed it up a bit. Although the trailer was silly, it's a fun movie. And it is a silly movie. It knows that it's silly, and it plays off that really well. The action and violence is over the top, but not in like a gory way. So it just kind of makes it more fun. Chris, you could watch this movie.
Yeah. You know, I found my peak is the Mortal Kombat Red Band trailer. I was fine watching that. So if I could watch that, so if I'm cool with that.
Good luck with the full feature, though. It was really just the edited trailer. As long as you could handle it.
Still Red Band.
Very excited for that one, by the way. Yeah, this is honestly just a really fun movie. It's a fun action movie. It's a super casual watch. It's funny. Not too long. Just felt like just the right amount of time. The acting was great. The directing was great. And yeah, I just had a lot of fun watching it. But yeah, it is silly, so I can't really give it too high a bean scale. But if you want a perfectly done, serious action time loop movie, go watch Edge of Tomorrow. Or just go watch it anyway, because that movie is awesome.
So good.
But this movie totally delivers on what it is and what you're expecting and won't disappoint any casual viewer. Everyone seems to be on the same page. It is flickable, and I split the difference as well. 7.7 out of 10.
Wow. Kaylin, what if I watched Boss Level, but I've also seen Uncut Gems?
It is flickable in that case.
Okay, good to know. You know, speaking of movies, well, first off, Frank Grillo, he's awesome, right? We all like that guy. He reminds me, I don't know why, but I get the same amount of Stokins from him and Walter Goggins. Is that his name?
Walton
Goggins.
Yeah.
Yeah, both those guys are just awesome.
His latest movie that I can remember is another silly one that I want to see but haven't yet, called Fat Man.
Oh, that's right. He's in that, too.
I haven't heard of
him. He's also stars Mel Gibson.
Great.
Yeah, Kaylin, you should look into Fat Man.
I haven't even heard of this movie.
Mel Gibson plays Santa. And Walton Goggins is hired by a kid who got coal in his stocking to kill Santa.
That's awesome.
That sounds very fun.
It looks great.
Yeah. See, I'm all for that. That's fun. That's fun.
Wait,
stuff.
Wait, is this movie out?
It came out at the end of 2020. It's called Fat Man.
Well, I was perusing through my HBO Max the other day, and Gary and I watched a little bit of this, so I decided I'm going to watch the whole thing. And it's a movie called She's All That, starring Rachel Lee Cook, Freddie Prinze Jr., from the 90s.
Paul Walker. How dare you?
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, he was great in it, too. Awful movie. not good. But, I did a little bit of research on it. You know who ghost wrote that movie?
Walton Goggins.
Walton Goggins. No. M. Night Shyamalan.
Really?
Yeah. He took the script and basically ghost wrote it and wrote a lot of it.
Now, maybe I'm going to shed some news here, but are you aware that they're currently in production on He's All That?
Yes, I am.
Did M. Night Shyamalan write that too?
I would have to hope.
He's not. But Rachel Lee Cook is going to be in it, but Dawson, get this.
she's not playing the same character, or is her character related even to
really?
Her
she's
character.
Not like playing the mom.
Yeah, you know, I don't need the drop. I just need some sort of signal to just put it Dawson, and he hits it. Yeah. So anyway, watch She's All That. Doesn't hold up.
No,
that's okay. I'll be honest.
It's doesn't not great.
No. Doesn't hold up. But
the twist is that she was dead the whole time, right?
Yeah. That's
spoiler.
Yeah, it is a prequel to Split. Kalen, yeah. You mentioned Edge of Tomorrow, and I was thinking that might be my single favorite moment, like final frame of a movie. Like I'm thinking of the last frame of a movie. The last frame of Edge of Tomorrow
is perfect.
I couldn't have asked for a better last frame.
It's when he says Rosebud and then dies, right?
I don't know. Yeah, that's my favorite part of the movie, and I'll watch it just so I can get to that point.
Well, similarly, Boss Level also has a very good last frame moment.
Really?
Yeah, that actually reminds me of that.
Everybody in the Facebook group, try one of your favorite last frame moments. I know it's going to be a very spoiler heavy.
I was going to say, ironically, my favorite last frame moment is from The Dark Knight.
Really?
Or no, it's from Batman Begins. From Batman Begins.
What is the last frame?
He holds up the Joker card.
Yep.
Yeah.
He says some guy's been around, fucking around the city, calls himself the Joker, and then the movie ends, and you're like, I gotta wait 4 years to see this thing.
Mm. Yeah, we need some more last frames.
It's the music that comes in after that last Edge of Tomorrow.
But
shot
just,
that it just works. So
it does.
It gets you so hyped.
Yeah, it does. So anyway, yeah, definitely watch Edge of Tomorrow.
Just watch
it's so good. All right. Well, anyway, I think we did it.
I feel complete.
I feel real complete. Thanks again to everybody for listening. And let's – oh, go ahead, Gary.
I'm just saying let's get out of here.
let's get out of here, Gail King. All right. Kalen, where can we go for you? Let's get our plugs in.
Don't worry about me.
All right. But check out for Crying Out Loud, which Kalen produces. Gary, what's up with you?
My plug is for an Instagram account, actually. There's a place down in North Orange County called the Royal Resort, which does dog training and dog boarding. And it's a great place. It's near my house. But they're trying to get more Instagram followers, so follow at the Royal, the letter K, and the number 9, OC. And the worst case scenario is you're going to see a bunch of really cute puppies in your feed.
Could we do this? Could we just send everybody there to follow and bark?
Yeah. I mean, it's Instagram, not Twitter, so you're going to have to just bark in the comments of one of the photos.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
At the Royal K, and then the number 9, OC.
All right, at the Royal K9, OC. Matt, what's up with
you? You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Fondelier, and then also shout out to what was this drink called?
Courage and Stone.
Courage and Stone.
Aisha Tyler,
which is the pre-made old fashioned that Aisha Taylor put her name on.
Tyler.
I know what I said. My point is, that's a damn good ready-to-made cocktail.
I was very impressed myself. Typically, if I see a ready-to-made cocktail, I will avoid it like the plague. But
you both said ready-to-made.
I know what I said.
Yeah, I know what Matt said.
It must be really good.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks to Aisha Toiler, and we appreciate the drink.
Alicia Toiler?
Doss, how about you?
Thank you to the 38 of you who liked the Smoke and Kills Facebook page.
Hey!
I appreciate 38 of you. At last check, there was like over 700 of you in this group.
Oh, calling them out!
Where are you guys? Come on, I need your love on this. At the Smoke and Kills on Facebook.
Yeah,
and Dawson, pictures up there, that's where you're going to find cool shit.
Dawson has pictures. There's going to be some big things with the Smoke and Kills this year, and you want to be the first to know. And that's how you do it. Follow them on Facebook. They'll update you every time about what's going on with the band. And
in all fairness, your best bet is you'll be the fifth to know.
I'll take it.
You know, that's as good as it's going to get.
I've heard some cuts of the record, and these are like unmixed, whatever, previews that Dawson just showed me and sent me. They're killer. They're awesome. You guys are going to be so stoked.
Awesome.
Stokens.
Massive. It's going to be raining Stokens when this record comes out. So definitely check it out and follow them on Facebook, The Smoking Kills. As for me, I would like everybody to, first off, once again, shout out to the Gout Gang and all the people who reached out for the venues. If anybody does have any more leads, I'm still looking. So hit me up for wedding venues and the Kickstarter for Mystery Bag.
Let's get that going.
And let's get a restaurant. Five guys.
What's for dinner?
Yeah, mystery bag. What's for dinner? So
No, we had a really fun show, and we'll see you Wednesday for Patreon. If anybody wants to sign up, just go to patreon.com/watercooler.
Oh, on the Wednesday show, when I do shit I did as a kid, you reminded me of when I first started playing gigs, when you talked about that you didn't have much witty banter. My witty banter got me in trouble one time.
Oh,
hey.
And I'll tell you that story.
Yeah. Well, we actually
15.
We may have to push that a week because you promised a hotel story.
I don't remember the hotel story.
Okay. And that was shit I forgot I did.
See, that's we have fun.
In all fairness, I'm usually drunk during this show.
Yeah. So well, anyway, that's a great tease, and also Dawson has a scam sham update. So we'll get
sham of a scam.
Yeah, sham of a scam update. So we'll get into that later this week. Ooh, he could have wrote this. What's happening to Dawson? All right. Well, anyway, that was Water Cooler. Thank you again for listening. Thank you for participating. We'll see you later. We love it. Goodbye.